Okay, a good morning, Be'ezer Hashem. We are holding on Daf Brachos, Brachos Daf Samach Aleph. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Mishum Rav Meir says Rav Huna in the name of Rav, in the name of Rav Meir. Lo elam yu dvarav shalad mu'atin lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. A person's words should be minimized before Hashem. Shenemar, as it says, al tavayel al picha velivcha yimar lohitzi davar lifnei Elokim. Do not be so quick to rush and say things before the Almighty. Kiva Elokim Hashemayim atavah la'aretz. Because the Almighty is in heaven and you are on the land, and therefore your words should be few. The Maharsha explains that it's talking about davening to Hashem to relieve you of things that we perceive as being negative. And he says the reason why a person should keep it to a minimum is that a person shouldn't come to think, shouldn't come to question, so to speak, the actions of heaven. And because, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously knows what he's doing, because he's up there, so to speak, and we're down here, and our vision is much more limited. So yes, he did, but, you know, don't overdo it. Why does it say, Vayitzer with two yuds? Two inclinations that Hashem create in man. One is the good inclination, one is the evil inclination. So you're going to tell me that by animals that it doesn't say the language of Vayitzer at all, so it means that it doesn't have any inclination whatsoever. We see that it damages, it bites, it kicks. The two yuds is to indicate that it's, a person is in a difficult situation. You know, it's kind of like walking a tightrope. Woe from my creator if I'll go after my Yetzer Hara, and woe from my Yetzer Hara if I won't do what he is nagging me to do, because he's always nagging me, as Rashi says. Inami k'derbiyamriya ben alazar damar. Obviously, the answer is that a person has to work out a way of doing the Ratzon Hashem and, you know, deal with the Yetzer Hara. But the situation is it's a difficult one. Life is built like an obstacle course. And that way we grow. Inami another explanation is that Rabbi Ben Elazar says that Hashem created man with two faces. Right? At when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created Adam, it was with two sides. Shenamar Achar V'Kedem Satani, rear and front did you form me. Hashem built the tzela. So what is the tzela? Rav Shmuel Chadam and Partzuf Chadam Rezanov. One says that he took a partzuf, which is one face, one side. And the other one says he took a tail. The Adam had a tail, and he took the tail and built it into Chav. According to the one who says that the tzela was the face, meaning the other side, the rear side. So that's how we understand from the pasuk that says rear and front did you form me. Elamanda Amar Zanav Maya Achar V'Kedem Satani, but the one who says that it was a tail, so what's the Achar V'Kedem, what's the front and the back? It's rear in terms of Maisa Breishis, meaning that Adam was created last. The Kedem Peronis and front when it comes to punishment, because Adam comes first. Bishlama Achar Maisa Breishis Lo Yivriad Mali Shabsa. I understand that he's the rear, so to speak, when it comes to the creation, because he was only created on Friday. But when it says that Adam comes first for punishment, so what punishment is it talking about? If you're talking about the punishment with the whole story of the serpent that he got him to eat from the Tzadas, Rabbi says, when you're apportioning greatness and stature, so you start from the greatest one, and when you're apportioning curses, so then you start from the least of stature. By Gedullah, so we know that we start from the greatest, because it says that Moshe spoke to Aaron, and then to Elazar, and then to Isamar, etc. Because all of cotton, when it comes to the curses, so you start from the least of stature, but Chilin is Kalan Nachash. First, the serpent was cursed, and only afterwards was Chava cursed, and then Adam was cursed last. El Paran is the Mabul, so rather it's referring to the punishment of the flood. As it says, Vayimach Skolikum Shalpin Adama Adam Behema. He erased, wiped out all of the life that was on the earth from man till animal. All the behemoth first, the people were wiped out, then animals. According to one who says that it was a face, so I understand the vayitzer with the two yuds to indicate that he was created duals, both sides. I think that's called androgynous. Maybe it's not really truly what androgynous means, but whatever. Elamanda Amr Zan of my Vayitzer. But according to the one who says that it was a tail, so what's the Vayitzer of the two Yitzchak? The Rishon Mempazi, like we said before, Dam Rishon Mempazi, Adam Yitzri, Adam Yitzri, woe for my Creator, woe for my Yitzhara. The one who says that it was a face, so that I understand. The Pasuk says that he created them male and female, which sounds like originally it was both. But according to the one that says it was just a tail, so what does it mean that male and female were they created? Could it be a vod? Rabbi Vo asks, on the one hand it says that he created man, male and female, which sounds like in the beginning they were created dual-sided in one body. And then it says in the image of the Almighty he created Adam. And it doesn't say anything about Menakeva, about the female, about Chava. Okay, so now how does this work? Originally Hashem thought to create them as two separate beings. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that he's going to create them only as one. So I think this is pretty famous, you know, that the explanation over here, that what is it, what is this whole business, that at first he thought two, then he decided one, and then he split them up and made them into two. That the idea is that, and I'm pretty sure, like, you know, a lot of Gedolei Mefarshim and Achrenim have pointed out this idea, that in marriage, as the Pasuk says, V'hayu basar echad, the husband and the wife are supposed to merge into basically, like, kind of, in a certain sense, one being. Right, you know, their neshamas are basically two halves of an overall neshama. So, in order to emphasize this to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, expressed in the Torah that really, be'etzim, they should be one, mamish. Right, just what? Just it's better. Sorry, that they're two. It's true that they're two distinct individual entities, but they're two that have to become one. So, pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was thinking maybe to start off creating them as two. No, but then they wouldn't necessarily realize to what extent they should become one when they come back together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu started off by creating them as one, right? So that way, and then he separated them, and now, okay, but now you're supposed to do an avodah of coming together. So they understand the oneness that they're supposed to achieve. He says, the one who says that it's a face, that's what he says, that he closed up the flesh underneath. The one who says it was just a tail, so what's the closing up of the flesh? It's referring to the place where he made the cut, where he made the incision. You know, you can't help but have the question, what was the Gemara's having? You know, like, well, why was this a question to begin with? So I'm not sure. The one who says that it was a tail, so that's how I understand it. He had to build it. He had to take the tail and build it up into a whole person. Parts of my vayiven. But the one who says that it was face, so what's the building? You're just splitting them. Rav Shimon Manasseh says, what do you mean that Hashem built the tzelem? Hashem braided, as it were, Chava's hair, and brought her to Adam, as the Adam Rishon, to Adam. Because in the distant cities, braiding is called B'niyasa, language of building. Which, by the way, on Shabbos, braiding is considered boina. It's considered a structure, in the sense of the halacha de gaboina. Obviously not in the sense of, you know, when we think of construction, but in the sense of the halacha de gaboina, making a braid is a binyan. Davar achar v'yivin amar av chista v'amilam v'sis latana. Another explanation, it's av chista or abraisa, malami shabona kadosh baruch hu chava kibinu reitzer. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava, created women like a storage house. Ma'oit zezer kasa v'mal v'rachum l'mata. Just like a storage house, it's the walls spread out as it goes down. It's narrower on the top than it is on the bottom. It's wider on the bottom and narrower on the top. The kabbalists up here so that the produce won't weigh down on the walls, right? If it would be the opposite, if it would be wider at the top and narrower at the bottom, so the produce would weigh down on the walls. So too, a woman is narrower at the top and wider on the bottom, meaning referring to the trunk of her body, so that she could carry the fetus without the fetus weighing too much down on her on the sides of her body. By the Elo Adam, Hashem brought her to Adam. So now the Gemara says further, if someone passes money from his hand to a woman's hand, in order to be able to look at her, again, you know, like another creepy TV type of thing to do, guy who's looking for to be able to look at women or whatever, even if he has Torah and mitzvahs like Moshe Rabbeinu, he will not be cleansed from the judgment of Gehenna. It says, from hand to hand, will not be cleansed from evil. You're not going to be Gehenna Shalom. He won't be cleansed from the din of Gehenna. Omer Menachem Menayach Amoritz. So Menachem Menayach, who was the father of Shimshon, was an Amoritz. The Chassidus says, Ve'elach Menayach Achrei Ishtai, Menayach walked behind his wife. So he was an Amoritz. He didn't know that it wasn't Derech Eretz to do that. Maskif Lor Menachem Yitzchak Elamiyata Gabi Elkanah Tichsav Ve'elach Elkanah Achrei Ishtai. By Elkanah it says that he walked behind his wife. Gabi Elisha Tichsav Ve'elach Elamiyach Achrei. By Elisha it says that he walked after the Shunamis. So what are you going to say that Elkanah and Elisha were the Gedolei Hador? So what, they were Amoratzim? Obviously not. So what is it? Acharei Mamish doesn't mean that they walked behind her. Acharei Devarav Acharei Tzatzo. It means that they followed her words and her counsel. Acharei Devarav Acharei Tzatzo. So by Menoach, you could say that he was following her words and her counsel. And Ravashi says that according to that which Rav Nachman was working with the assumption that Menoach was an Amoritz, and that he was literally following behind her. Philip Rav Nami Lokari didn't even go to Cheder. She never says about talking Rivka and Arasava to Kamna Lagmanish. Says that Rivka and her maid servants, they rode on the camels and they followed Eliezer Eben Avram and not in front of him. So we see they didn't even know the Pasuk. Says the person should go behind a line and not go behind a woman. That's the Girsa brought down, which makes a lot of sense over here. A person should walk behind a woman, not walk behind Avodazara. Better to walk behind Avodazara than to walk behind the shul when the tzibur is davening. Marshal says that it could be because by Avodazara, people might think, okay, maybe he's doing shituf. Right? He believes in Hashem and the Avodazara. But when it comes to walking behind the shul, then that might just look like stomp here. But it's only a problem if he's not carrying anything. If you're carrying something, then people are not going to think that, you know, you're not coming in the shul because you just don't care about davening. They're going to realize that you're in the middle of carrying something. It's also if there's no other door. But if there's another door, so people might think to themselves, okay, maybe I'll come in the other door. If there's another door, it's not a problem. Also, if he's riding a donkey, it's not a problem, because people will see that that he's in the middle of going somewhere, and that's why he can't come in right now. Also, if he's wearing tefillin, so obviously he's mekabel l'malchus shemayim, so there's no chashash that people will think that he's fifing on avodas Hashem chas v'shalom. Omer Rav Yitzhar Adem Lezuv Yishmin Shnei Miftachei Alev says Rav, the Yitzhar is like a fly, and he sits between the two openings of the heart. And if you think about it, sometimes you get like an annoying fly. Just as many times as you try to shoo it away, it just keeps coming back to bother you. See, Yitzhar is also like that. No matter how many times you manage to shoo him away, so to speak, he just keeps coming back to annoy you. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up, that we have to engage the struggle, so to speak. Like we said, all of life is an obstacle course. She never says, right, the flies mess up the good oil. Right, and Marsha points out that a small thing can mess up a big chash of a zach. Shmuel Amar Kemen Chita Hu Daimesh. Shmuel says that the Yitzhar is kind of like a wheat kernel. Shneimer LePesach Chatas Oivetz. Right, Chatas is in Lashon Chita. Right, so sin crouches by the door. So what we're supposed to learn from that, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what we're supposed to learn from that it's similar to a chita. I mean, I just thought of something right now. Just mamish off the cuff. Maybe it's an idea. But what's a chita? A chita is something that if you try to eat it as is, it's not really so good. You could eat it, but it's not really so good. So what do you have to do? You have to crush it, pound it, right? Mix it with water, subject it to amazing, like really hot temperatures. Like mamish, you have to really subject it to some serious suffering, so to speak. You have to grind it up till it's powder. Right? Then you have to mix it with water. And you have to bake it in an oven in unbelievably hot temperatures. I'm saying unbelievably hot, if a person would go in there, they would die, right? Because we're talking about really hot temperatures over here. So maybe it could be that we learned earlier that you're supposed to serve Hashem with your Yitzhara also, but you have to subject the Yitzhara, to a lot of beatings. You have to beat him up in order to be able to get control of him so that you can use him for Avodas Hashem. One of your kidneys advises you to good, and one of your kidneys advises you to do bad. It makes sense to say that the good one is the one on the right, and the bad one is the one on the left. The heart of the wise is to his right, the heart of the fool is to his left. Tanu Rabbanan. We learned that by Sakleis, the kidneys advise, Lev Mavin, the heart understands which one to go like. Lashon Rechatech, the tongue cuts, the forms the words, Pegaymer, the mouth, meaning the lips and the rest of the mouth, finishes off the word Veshet Machis, the esophagus brings in and out all types of food, Kana Moitzi Koil, the trachea brings forth sound, Rea Sheves Kol Minei Mashkin, the lungs absorb all types of liquid, Kaved Koyes, the liver is responsible for anger, Mara Zerekes Baitibim Anichosai, the gallbladder, I'm pretty sure the Mara is the gallbladder, throws a little drop into it and calms him down. Tchil Soichek, the spleen is responsible for laughter. Kurkavan Teichin, the kurkavan in the chicken grinds at the food. Kevo Yeshena Hafner, the kevo, which I'm not sure exactly what this is referring to in a person, because the kevo is the maw of an animal, I guess. So I'm not sure, which is part of the stomach, so I'm not sure exactly which part of the body in a person, because it's pretty clear from the Hemshech of the Gemara that we're talking about a person over here. So the keva is responsible for the sleepy part of the person, and the nose is the awaking part of the person. Neir ayashem yashem neir. If the one that's supposed to be sleeping wakes up, or the one that's supposed to be is awake, goes to sleep. Nimak v'haylechloy. So it's very bad for you, and you just wind up getting sicker and sicker and sicker till you die. Tanim shnei mishenim shnei neirim. If they're both sleeping or both awake, miad meisel immediately die. Tanya Rabbi Yitzchak Gluli Omer. Remember the verse that Rabbi Yitzchak Gluli says, Tzadikim Yitzhar Yitzhar Taiv Shaftan. By the Tzadikim, the Yitzhar Taiv is what judges them. And that's what's really in control by the Tzadikim. Shenemar Rabbi Libichol Bekirmi, my heart is void inside of me, meaning it's void of the Yitzhar. Rishayim Yitzhar Ra Shaftan. But when it comes to the Rishayim, it's the evil inclination that judges them. Meaning it's the Yitzhar is like the Shaykh. He's the judge. He's the guy in charge by the Rishayim. Shenemar Nuhum Peshal Rasha Bekirmi Libichol Bekirmi 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 Right, that's what's going on inside of the Rosh. That he's telling him no pachad elokim, no terror of the Almighty, no fear of the Almighty. Then any amzev the shaytan when it comes to average middle of the ground people. So both they're heavily influenced by both. Shenemar, as it says, Yamidim min evyan hashia mi shaytan avshay. He will stand to the right of the impoverished one to save him from the judges of his nefesh. So you see that both are going on in there. And if it's both, so why do you have to save him from the Yetzer Tov? Because it's not. The idea is the same from the struggle. There's a struggle going on in the Yitzhar and the Yitzhar. He needs to be saved and he needs help to manage through the struggle. Amar Rav Kigun Anu Benini. He says, Rav, I'm a Benini. I'm like an average guy. I'm going to have Baile Shavakta. Shavik Mar L'chai L'chal Biri. You're not leaving life for anybody. If you think that you're a Benini, so then who's at Tzad? So Rashi says, then who's at Tzad the Gomor? I was thinking it could be that the Gemara says by Rav Chanin Ben Daisa that the whole world, I think it was earlier in Brachas that we said this, the whole world is fed in the schus of Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa. So if you're saying that you're a Benini, so who's that tzaddik gomer that the whole world could be fed in his schus? The world, creation was for either completely evil people or completely righteous people. Rabbi says a person knows in himself if he's a full tzaddik or not. Amar Rav, Marsha says he was saying it out of anivus, out of humility. Amar Rav Leivri Almel Achav and Amri Leivichanim and Daisa. Rav says that the world was created for people like Achav and Amri, who was a really big Rasha, and Leivichanim and Daisa was a tzaddik gomer. Achav and Amri was there. This world was created by Achav and Amri, as Rashi explains that because they even the most wicked people sometimes do some good deeds, so they have to get paid for it somewhere. So they get paid for it with this world. And that's it. That's what they get, and they have no Olam Haba. And the Tzadikim Gemurim, the Olam Haba is what's for them. So what does that mean for so Beninim are like a no man's land? No. So I think the pshat is that what the Gemara means is that the ultimate, if you want to know like who is fully, you know, for this world, that's the Rishayim Gemurim. Who's fully for the Olam Haba, that's the Tzadikim Gemurim. Okay, says Gemara, for the Rehafta Sushim Lakechu, you should love God, your Lord. Tanya Rabbeleza Roimer, Rabbeleza says, Im Nemer B'chol Nafshecha, Lem Nemer B'chol Medecho. Im Nemer B'chol Medecho, Lem Nemer B'chol Nafshecha. Why do I need both of these expressions with all of your soul, with all of your life, and with all of your strength? Elim, Yishlecha Adam Shagof V'chav V'lem M'moinoi. If you have a person whose body, meaning his life, is more dear to him than his money, Kach Nemer B'chol Nafshecha, so that's why it says with all of your life, with all of your soul. And if you have a person whose money is more dear to him than his life, that's why it says with all of your strength, meaning with all of your monetary strength, with all of your wealth. Rabbi Kiva says that b'chol nafshecha means even if God takes your life. They bring down a different gears on the side, and it says that according to Rabbi Kiva, b'chol nafshecha would include if your life has to be devoted to the service of God, then all the more so all of your money. So rather, what's b'chol nafshecha going to teach you? Like we saw earlier.